Listen. Listen for the word of the Lord as it is found in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 29th verse, and going through the 12th chapter, the second verse. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. What more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in goatskins and sheepskins, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow. It is hot out there. And it is so muggy. It is way too hot to do anything out there. What are we going to do? We need to find someplace air conditioned. And so, because of the heat, in 2003, a daycare field trip to a Texas ranch gets canceled. And a note comes home about the six-year-old on the substitute daycare field trip to the air-conditioned gymnastics facility. The note said, "Simone exhibits great promise in gymnastics. We wonder if you would consider signing her up for classes here." And so Simone Biles, the child adopted by her grandparents after spending her earliest years in Ohio, shuffled between her addiction-challenged mom and various foster care placements. Simone Biles eagerly enrolls in classes and goes on to become the most gold-medaled gymnastics champion in history. At the 2016 Summer Olympic Games, she is widely acclaimed as the greatest gymnast ever. A substitute field trip. an observed indication of promise, a note, a promise realized, something better than ever could have been expected. When you watched Simone Biles this week, watched her leaping, twisting, flipping, flying, when you were gripped in amazement at a human being's capacity for strength and agility and beauty, did you wonder how that comes to pass? In the middle of the passage from Hebrews today lies a giant therefore, and so, a word that signals a change in what's being considered, a shift. Up until this point, the passage talked about the ones who have gone before. It talked about the amazing feats of the Old Testament saints, the heroes, Gideon, Samson, Samuel, David. It marveled about sons raised from the dead by Elijah and Elisha, sons upon whom their mothers depended for status and survival in that time. The women and their sons escaped death in those resurrections. And then there are the legends from between the Old and New Testaments, stories from Jewish national history, which the epistle's hearers remember and reflect on with mixed grief and pride. They are stories from the Maccabean Revolt, Israel's last big shot at sovereignty. The Maccabees are revered. They're militant terrorists against the Greek Empire. They live in the wilderness, and they give themselves over to becoming heroes and martyrs so that the nation of Judea and its religious practices will survive. The writer of the Hebrews says of this group collectively, "The world is not worthy of them." But the promise they hoped for was not realized. Promise realized, realized, made real. Here's the promise, now I will make it real. It's God's vineyard with an addition, a something better so that the promise, the hope, becomes real. Remember that this letter is to the Hebrews who have looked to their Judaic heritage as God's ticket to the gold medal. "Nope," says the writer, "got something better because others get to be included too. Got something better because it's not just those old Israelite and Jewish heroes that make the dream come true. It's us too. We're in on it. They can't get there without us because that's not God's promise. That's not the vineyard God planted, not the hope God hoped, not the dream God dreamed. How does the dream come true? How is the promise realized?" Remember with me that in Isaiah, God is angry enough to rip out the whole garden, the whole vineyard, because God planted grapes and got sour grapes. God didn't get what God wanted, despite the fact that he thought he'd done everything right. What did God want? God wanted justice. God wanted righteousness. God wanted the kingdom of God, the beauty of the earth, just as we sang about it, wonder, love, peace on earth, and joy in heaven. God didn't get it in Isaiah's time. God wasn't getting it during the first century Roman Empire, and I'm pretty sure God's not getting it just yet either. How does God get what God wants? The writer of Hebrews is laying out the challenge here. Wonder, joy, peace on earth, joy in heaven. How do we get there? He notes that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Perhaps we like to think of cheering crowds of observers who encourage us and celebrate our efforts, like fans who stop a preseason football game to watch Michael Phelps win yet another gold medal. Perhaps we like to take comfort that our own efforts could be appreciated by the Christian saints that we personally love, our teachers, our grandparents, our friends, spouses, maybe parents who have left this world. But the fact is that the cloud of witnesses referred to here are martyrs, marturon, witnesses, the ones who stood up and testified. They witnessed to justice and to doing the right thing. They loved mercy. They challenged racism, and they did not leave strangers to fend for themselves. They challenged assumptions that poor people should just work harder, sins that cling closely to us. There are weights that, in all honesty, we may not want to lay aside, not just personal habits and temptations that frustrate us, but weights of disproportionate wealth and energy use and massive military expenditures while children live in poverty, because to cast aside such weights would cost us something, would cause us to confront our own fears about security or of not getting what we want. The poet Christian Wyman writes that all of our own fear comes from one source, the isolated self, the self held willfully apart from God. It was true in the first garden, in the beginning, and it is true now. There is sin that clings so closely to us. There are weights that we struggle to cast aside. In youth groups and seminaries, we like to say that if you are not sure of the answer to a question, just say one word. Say that word, that name, and chances are you will have the right answer. How does God get what God wants? The answer is Jesus. Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Wyman writes further that the only hope-filled way of dealing with our fear of anything, is the way of Jesus in the garden, where he says, "Not my will, Lord, not my will, but yours." This is not Jesus being resigned, because Jesus still had to act. When we act in the will of God, when we work to make the promise real, we express hope in its purest and most powerful form, because hope is a condition of your soul, not a response to circumstances. Hope is what Christ had in the garden, though he had no reason for it in terms of events. And hope is what he has right now, with us, through us, in this garden of our own griefs. The way is not easy. In an interview with The New Yorker, Simone Biles compares the process of getting into shape for competition as repeatedly convincing yourself that you're not going to die. The way wasn't easy for her. The way wasn't easy for Jesus, who needed to convince himself, as we sometimes do, that even if we are going to die, we want God to get what God wants. We want the promise to become real. Jesus teaches by example. He is a pioneer and a perfecter, but he lives with us, in us, through our own imagination and experience, through our own dedication to running whatever race is set before us, whatever event demands from us our best show of extraordinary strength, or agility or beauty. What notes might be sent home about you? What promise do you demonstrate, and will it be realized? Will God finally get what God wants through you? Will you allow the promises God makes about you, in you, through you, by the grace of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit to become real? Sons and daughters of God, there is joy set before each of us. Realize the promise. Alleluia. Amen.